Glad to have you aboard this morning. Got a great show lined up for you. Want you to stay tuned to Pastor Buddy and a Shepherd's Call on WWCR, the Transmitting Jewel of the South. We're live here on a Saturday morning. May the blessings from the good old USA right here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're glad to have you aboard. Well, we're going into a subject this morning about the journeys of Israel. In Genesis 32:28, and after Jacob, who had his name changed, by the way, it was Jacob in the Hebrew, had his name changed to Israel. Well, because he was a prince and he had power with God and with men, and has prevailed. So the heritage or nature of the blessings of this one man turned out to be a mighty family in the earth, a family called Israel. Now, we've explored how that family, after the rule of David in the dynasty of Solomon, that the kingdom of Israel, the houses, the 12 tribes, were split into two houses. Well, for punishment, the 10 northern tribes were removed in 721 B.C. and began an adventurous wandering in captivity. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jacob with the 66 souls that went down into the land of Egypt to journey or to sojourn there in the land of Egypt because that there was a famine in Palestine and Canaan. Sometimes Yahweh uses disasters to bring about miracles. This miracle of the famine forced Jacob, the proud man that he was, the prince that he was, with all of the sons and the strength that he had at the house, he took the 66 souls with himself and his two wives down into the land of Egypt, and there for 430 years. Jacob actually died in the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible symbolizes darkness. So really, the whole, if you will, metaphor that we could bring forth from this, that out of darkness shines the light. Revelations come from a dark place. The secret place. The Bible said the secret things belong to God. And God reveals these secrets and the intents of his own heart to his prophets. Jacob, being a prophet, said to Joseph as he made him swear. Now, why did he choose Joseph? Well, of course, we know that Joseph was the governor, the second ruling power in Egypt. When that Jacob was come down with his household to the land of Egypt, and there they prospered for 430 years. And after that, a Pharaoh raised up after the death of Joseph and the death of Jacob and the death of the other 11 patriarchs. But the seed had grown to a mighty, mighty force, over 2 million in the congregation of Israel, plus their children and their women. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we find out then that therefore Yahweh prospered Israel under persecution. Now, this is strange. The Bible said many are the persecutions of the righteous. But the eternal covenant promise, I want to talk about the eternal covenant promise that God Almighty has got for his people. Now, his people are a people that are called by his name. Now, let me repeat that. His people are a people that are called by his name. Now, let's go forth and join the adventure as we look into the different reasons why that Israel had successes and also that Israel had failures. Well, we find out in the 48th chapter that Joseph was chosen to be the birthright son. Now, nothing is mentioned. Very seldom you hear a preacher claim or proclaim, like Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Call, about the power of the last day revelation coming forth upon the earth to reunite the two houses. Just like Joseph in darkness, Israel is now become a scattered people. Now, when I talk about Israel, I'm not talking about the place in geographical terms of identity, meaning that that place over there that used to be Israel was the land of Canaan, and the people took upon themselves the name of Israel, given to them by God Almighty. We know that the 10 northern tribes scattered abroad 721 B.C., and they came across into Assyria, which is the Mesopotamian Valley, and there they were dealt kindly with as captivity goes. The major body of the house of Israel was removed by the Assyrian power. Now, this is all for a reason. This is all for purposes of covenant. Remember, I told you last Saturday morning here on the Shepherd's Call that the covenants and the appointments of Yahweh are without repentance. He cannot lie. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a great mystery in the earth. There are those who claim to be Jews and are not. Revelation 2:9. Let me read you a verse of scripture. I know them that say that they are Jews, but are not, and are liars. In Revelation 3:9, we read the same text in a different setting. Behold, I know where Satan's seat is, in the synagogue of Satan, and I know them that say they are Jews but are not, but again are liars. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a double meaning here. There is a true Jew, and there is a false Jew, just like there are true Israel and a false Israel. Well, the house of Yehuda, the house of Judah, as we would know it in the English language, and in various languages around the world, it means the same thing.
the actual meaning of Yahuta, the tribe of Yahuta, is, it means praisers of Yah. Now the word hallelujah is associated with Yahuda, praisers. That's what we are. We are created to praise by saying hallelujah. Now his name, 5,823 times in the Hebrew, is Yahweh. The name given, the name forgotten, the name rejected. Remember the Bible said that the stone, which is the name, and Peter said there's neither salvation in any other name, was replaced by another name. Now, this name has become very popular. It's called on by Christians throughout the world and adored and praised and sung daily. But the true name, the rejected name, the hidden name, just like the Egyptian darkness, God hid the truth from the wise and the prudent and revealed it to those that would seek him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I hope and trust that you're getting the message this morning. You must pray. You must see and ask for the OPAP. And when you find it, you must walk in and find rest for your soul. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how do we find rest in a troubled land? Can we sing the praises of the mighty ones on our hearts? David said, as long as we are in captivity. Did you know that a sick body, a mentally, spiritually, physically sick body of Jacob, Israel, the Israelites scattered abroad, the 10 northern tribes, I'm going to talk about them, and then we're going to talk about the reuniting of house, but I'm going to tell you how that Satan got into the bloodline of Jacob. Now listen to me well. In the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 1, and Jacob, or Judah, when he become of age, a young man, adventured on a hunt, probably for a wife, coming of age, he went onto a journey, and he came upon a certain Abulamite named Hara. And the Bible said that he had a beautiful daughter by the name of Shua. Now, this beautiful daughter was a Canaanite. Now, it is written in Scripture throughout that an Israelite, in this case, Judah, Yahuda, should never, never, never mix his seed with a Canaanite. But it happened. We find in the 38th chapter that Judah fell in love with this beautiful, vivacious Canaanite woman. Oh my, how powerful a tool is in the hands of Satan. Beauty, the Bible said, is vain, but most of the time man goes for beauty, and Judah really loved and admired this woman that was a Canaanite, her name Shua. Now, the Bible says that Judah went into her, and as the custom was, he knew her, and she became his wife. Now, it doesn't say how long that Judah was married unto Yeshua, but we do know that she bare unto him 3 sons. Now, could have bare daughters, but the daughters are not listed in the genealogy. However, the listing of 3 sons Er was the first son. And the Bible said, now listen to this, but he was wicked. Now, why would this son be singled out for his wickedness? Simply because the connection, this is the first time that the blood of Israel, which should have been a holy blood, a sanctified blood, a cleansed blood, a blood not to be mingled with the strangers, that word stranger, is a very, very strange word indeed. This word stranger means the noiki in the Hebrew, meaning someone of a different blood other than the blood of Jacob. This blood was mixed by the wisdom and the cunning craftiness of Satan, placing this beautiful Canaanite woman, a seed line descendant of the blood of Cain. Now, are you following me? The blood of Cain was a blood that would not ever inherit the kingdom of heaven. This blood was banned from the presence of Almighty God. Oh my, what a curse upon Cain. Cain would never be able to return to the place that his father and his mother came from. That is the fifth spiritual dimension known in the Bible metaphorically as the garden. This was a place on a distant planet. In other words, a different dimension than the third dimension of the earth. You see, Adam was let out of the garden and, well, actually the Bible said he was driven from the garden. He was ordered expelled out of this paradise kingdom that he lived in, though he walked among the Elohim. These are the mighty gods, called Elohim in Hebrew, angelic beings in Christianity. Now, Satan was the chief archangel, if you will, the second in command to this hierarchy that lived somewhere, let's just, for the sake of simplification, that you might have an understanding that heaven is not where you think it might be. And neither is hell, which is interpreted in scripture as the grave. You see, those that die and go to the grave know nothing. And this is the hell that is spoken about in the New Testament quite often, where that this seed would be forever dead in the presence of God. In other words, it would die and fall back to the earth. From earth it came, to earth it returns. But what about that end of man? And in John chapter 3, verse 4, we read a mistranslation in the King James Bible. Let me restate the correct version as opposed to the incorrect translation. The Bible in the King James says that you've got to be born again. When Nicodemus asked what he had to do to enter heaven, the King James English Bible version, check yours out and see, it says you must be born again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very deceptive word, born again. Again, the word again is a mistranslation. The actual Greek, if you'll check your Greek language, doesn't say born again. And so then, something that has eternal life, that has no beginning of birth or no end in death, is what we would call an eternal being. This eternal being is the very one that the shepherd in Ezekiel chapter 34 said, I am the good shepherd, and I come to seek my sheep, the lost sheep. Therefore, we call the 10 northern tribes the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, we read that he sent the apostolic fathers who were not born again, but born from above. Now, that's different. It doesn't say born again. It says born from above. Well, if we look at the word eternal, that means without father and without mother, without beginning and without end. That is the Melchizedek virtue of eternal being. That's the difference between the Levitical covenant, because those who broke Moses' law died. There was no salvation for them that died under the Levitical covenant. Only the blood of goats and bulls was offered, and it kept those sins of those individuals for 1 year. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So a substitute covering was made for a temporary covering, if you will, in the Levitical covenant, was made to cover the sins of Jacob Israel. Now, everybody in the world wants to take and adopt the Bible as their own. Each race, each generation wants to have the Bible for its own and become what we know as Christian. But the Bible is written to, for, and about. Now, let me repeat that very slowly so you can catch that. The Bible is only written. This is the Word of God. This is a love contract. This is the things that were written that you not believe, that it was written to, for, and about one family called Israel in the earth. Now, is it exclusionary? Is there salvation for all? Of course not. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, why should we come past land and sea to convert and save people? Well, the Bible says that in the last days, and particularly in the era now of travel, instant travel, we can fly from country to country within a matter of hours on the super eagles that fly through the eye, the sky, and the eye of an eagle. We have those that can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. When they make these proselytes, in other words, when they convert them to their religion, not salvation, ladies and gentlemen. So you can't go to heaven in religion. The Bible said religion is vain. But salvation is only offered to, go only to, go only to, go only to. Now, this excludes everything that is not Jacob Israel. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, my heavens, who then can be saved? A few. Because the Bible said, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and they few there be that find it. Exclusive to the house of Israel, and as long as there is a sun and a moon. Israel shall remain before the face of the Father, it's his children. Now, in John chapter 10, let's quote from the scripture that we just brought you, Ezekiel 34, where he said, I am the good shepherd, and I will come, I, Almighty Yahweh, Almighty God, in a flesh body. Amazing how that God became a man through the seed of Jacob. Oh, my. We find that the seed of Jacob was genealogy. No other family, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible, there's not another genealogy, and genealogy is seed, and there's only one seed. From the Garden of Eden, the battle began between the two seeds. This is the seed of Satan, the offspring, Cain, being the offspring, and Judah married into, by trickery, by deception, Jacob prophesied in Genesis 49:10 that the scepter would depart from Judah. Why? Because Judah had a corrupted bloodline by the wisdom and knowledge and the cunning craftiness of Satan as he brought into the house of Israel what is known in Matthew chapter 13. And oh my, how I would love to go there for a moment and dwell, but time will not permit in an hour to bring this revelated covenant message to you and do it justice. But in the 13, we find that while the sower, now who was the sower? The Bible said in Revelation 22:16, I am the offspring of David. This is what the Messiah said. Remember, the Bible calls him in the New Testament and the Old Testament, or the Old Parchment and the New. Both books declare that he was a son of David. The acknowledgement of the Messiah, the risen one, in Revelation, he's been risen. He's been God all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if he's got all power, and all power was given to him, somebody had the power. Who was it? Through the strength of the law, the power was given to Satan. Oh, my. What do you mean, Pastor Buddy? Because the Bible said the law is holy. Yeah, but it was given to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, by condemning sin in the flesh, Almighty God shut the door on Satan and his seed from ever returning to the Garden of Eden. Remember the flaming sword that was put to guard the way of the tree of life? Did you know that Yahweh himself is the tree of life? Did you know that Eve had a choice in the garden, and she chose the beautiful angel, the one that all the other trees, and this word is code, the word tree signifies man or men, or in this case, Elohim, mighty gods, the mighty ones, the angelic beings were walking in the midst of the garden with Adam and Eve walking among them. Wasn't that an honor to walk with God? The Bible said that Adam walked with God. Hallelujah. Can you see that on a planet somewhere called heaven, and remember when Christ comes, he said, I'm not of this world. Then he made another startling statement, and neither are my sheep of this world. Well, you say, well, what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world. That's a misprint. In the original text, the oldest original text, John 3:16 is added to the text. It's not there in the original. So therefore, we cannot truthfully say that the most popular scripture in the Bible among the people scattered abroad is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That has been added by a church, the whole church. Now, the whole church wanted to break the bond and covenant that God had with Jacob, and Jacob exclusively. So that they could go out by using this scripture, and this is the one they use for an excuse to go out and compass land and sea to add to their churches and add to their numbers so that they could build great riches and things of this nature. And God is highly displeased with they that have a seen that way or they that are lukewarm. If you don't have a covenant, ladies and gentlemen, Cain did not have a covenant with God. The covenant was with Abel because he chose Abel. Now, why did he choose Abel, Pastor Buddy? And why did he reject Cain? The Bible says, and Yahweh informed Cain, and by the way, the word cannibal or blood drinker comes from the word Cain. The hordes of the monk, if you look at Strong's number 7013, it will take you to the word Cain. And it tells you that he's from the eastern part of the world. Or a oriental offspring. This oriental offspring had no conscience. As Cain had no conscience to worship before God, he became a seeker of his own works. And he brought his own works to present before Yahweh, and his own works were denied. By works? No. But by chosen covenant from the foundation of the world, not born again, but born from above. This is amazing. I know that. I know it's different than probably, perhaps, what you have heard in the past. But ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that Cain and his offspring, you know, the Bible says that some are made as natural brute beasts to be taken and destroyed in the fire. Did you know that the sons of Cain will never inherit the kingdom? Did you know that their genetics and their very nature, the Bible said, even make the tree good. If you have the nature covenant bloodline of Jacob, you can blush in this respect to hear the word. If you do not have this chosen heritage and covenant bloodline, remember, Yahweh Shua in the flesh body said, I am the offspring of David. But amazingly, he said something else within the 16th verse of Revelation chapter 22. He said, I am the root of David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Almighty God is telling you that he was the progenitor of the blood of Israel. That he covenanted his son. If you go back to Isaac, the son of Abraham, who was a friend and walked with God, as did Adam. And Adam and his blood and his offspring, the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, he began to bring forth sons in his own likeness. See, the other two was not in his likeness. Are you with me? The two sons that were impregnated in the inner earth, or the inner dimension, if you will, the fifth dimension, in the spirit world where paradise was, where the angels walked. We know it is heaven. Christians long to go back there. But listen, the Bible says you cannot go unless you are born from that flaming sword. Remember, God is a flaming fire. That's the flaming sword of his genetics. There were four rivers that come out of the Garden of Eden. And only one of those river streams of genetics was approved by God. And only that stream of genetics and that bloodline that's born not again, but from above, it will go back and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. It was meant all along that Adam and Eve would have likeness as the tree of life, and instead they bear the tree of death. Because Satan gave them, through giving the first prototype, the first seed belonged to Satan, the second seed belonged to Yahweh. Cain was a son of a Satan. Abel was the son of Yahweh. And the evil seed, in the third dimension, when they were turned out into the third dimension to bring forth after their time. Remember, a tree's known by its fruit. A good tree can't bring forth bad fruit. A bad tree can't bring forth good. It's that simple. And by knowing that, then when we see the revelation of truth, that the shepherd came to seek out his sheep. Now, the Bible says they were lost sheep. They had become lost in 1721, separated from the commonwealth of Israel and driven throughout the earth to become as the sands of the sea and the stars in the heavens. Later, Almighty God said, I will send forth a fisherman and hunters to seek them out wherever I have driven Jacob's seed into the earth, and they will hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Ladies and gentlemen, among the heathen of the world called Gentiles, you see, Israel become known as Gentiles, but they never was Gentiles. The Gentiles were the heathen round about that they wanted to be like. Therefore, God gave them up to vile affections and reprobated minds and scattered them among the heathen, where they lost their identity as the sons of Jacob. If we look at the standards and the covenants of these people that came across the Caucasus Mountain, became known as Caucasian, they filled the Isles, the British Isles. They filled Europe. They filled the northern Scandinavian countries and the southern slopes of the great vast plains of Russia. On up into the top of the country and scattered throughout the whole earth was the seed of Israel, with Joseph being lost until Genesis 48, verse 22 through 24, where he received the promise that the Son of God, the living Son of Yahweh, would incarnate into a flesh body through the descended seed of Joseph, not the descending seed of Judah. Therefore, the king of Israel was a bloodline descendant of the house of David, which was a house bloodline descendant of Ephraim, according to Ruth chapter 1. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, that David's father was an Ephraimite, not a Judite, and most people believe that David was a Jew. Indeed, he was not. The genetics calls for him to be out of the birthright tribe, and Christ had to come through the birthright tribe of Joseph, not Judah. And so we've been fooled and deceived and lied to all of these years by thinking wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Just like Judah was deceived by the beauty of the cunning, sly, the craftiness of the woman. Her beauty overpowered, and his lust for the beauty of the woman got Judah, the house of Judah, and his bloodline into trouble. We know that the first son, as I said, was destroyed because he was wicked. Now, the second son was Onan. And the Bible said, as Judah's trying to raise a family, he cared much for him, and he grieved when Yahweh killed Er. Very appropriately named Er. It was an error on Judah's part. God did not want the blood of the snake, the blood of Cain, to come into the covenanted bloodline of the house of Israel. Judah being one of the sons, the fourth son from the issue of Leah. The 11th son, Joseph, was the one that got the promised birthright. The birthright meaning that the Messiah in the days, all of the Israel knew that the Messiah's promise would come through the birthright son, and yet it was Judah that excelled and prevailed over his brethren all of the years as Joseph was obscured, just like he was in Egypt. But in the last days, the revelation will come forth of the true covenant and the birthright belonging to the house of Joseph, and the house of Joseph will restore the two houses. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've long in theology had the cart before the horse. And we must rectify and right, make right. Two wrongs don't make a right, so we've got to get it right. Finally, we'll get it right in the last day. There shall come, according to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25 and 20, there shall come a deliverer. A message will come forth in the last days to restore the preeminence and the rightful ownership back to whom it belongs, and that is the Messiah and the house of Joseph, the birthright son. Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in perilous times, and in the darkest times of our existence, the light will shine out of darkness. This is the message. Because blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. Now, we're talking about the Caucasian peoples that were scattered through the earth, Israel, from his blood issue, the blushing bride of the chosen ones, the princes of Israel. You see, offspring, if Jacob was a prince, if Israel was a prince, then those who sprang from him were princes, and here is Judah, the prince, taking the correct genetic bloodline of Almighty God from Isaac. You see, Isaac was, according to Genesis chapter 21, Yahweh was the one that influenced Sarah. After Abraham had several sons, he had none by Sarah. But by doing something, according to Genesis chapter 21, he did something to Sarah. Yahweh visited her at the appointed time and did unto her, and she conceived. Ladies and gentlemen, the root of this wonderful bloodline, progenitored by Yahweh himself. Remember now, Abel, the offspring of Yahweh in the garden. Remember, the sons were conceived in the garden and they were fraternal twins. Adam was not their father. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says Adam knew her. That is correct. But after a woman conceives and her fertile cycle is sealed and the blood is shut up, remember, she can conceive with two or three different men. You say, Pastor Buddy, I never heard nothing like that. Well, it's a common occurrence that a fertile woman in her fertile cycle can be fertilized with the semen from two or three different males, and she could actually conceive the three bloodlines in the same womb and bring them forth in her deliverance. And that's exactly what happened to Eve. She conceived two sons in the garden. Now, let me give you an amazing confirmation of what Pastor Buddy's talking about. If you read in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, talking about Adam's bloodline or descending sons, we know that Enoch is the seventh from Adam. Well, if you include the Cain and Abel in the lineage offspring of Adam, that's nine. And the Bible's an error. But the Bible is true when it says that Cain and Abel were from two different fathers. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, that Abel was of the righteous one, the tree of life, and Satan, Cain, was of Satan, the wicked one, or the tree of good and evil. And that's the problem with Cain. He knows good and he knows evil. But the evil always overpowers the good that he would do. He does not. Because you know him by his fruits, and a tree is known by his fruits, and a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot We're talking about genetics here, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you follow me. This is a condensed message. We're packing a lot of punch into this powerful message this morning around the world. For your benefit, Jacob Israel, to hear the gospel and to come to the sound of his voice. I give my sheep. My sheep are not of this world. Notice that. In other words, the genetics of a bloodline in the earth is not the genetics of man. Neither born of man or the will of man, but by the blood of God. Oh my, that changes everything in perspective. It puts it into a new light of your understanding. And I hope and pray and trust that Pastor Buddy is revealing something here that's sparking something in that inherent nature that you have to go wrong, but in the flesh man, but in the spirit man, it will provoke you to think and to return to the old path as you see and ask for it and to walk in and find rest for yourself. This is the living, anointed Word of God by a prophet speaking in the last days by the inspiration of the Holy Word, bringing forth the mysteries that are sealed and hidden until the last days, which will be revealed through the house of Joseph. You need information and a deepening understanding to be saved. My people, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you reject knowledge, I will reject you. Ladies and gentlemen, you must come on board with the truth. Now, the Bible said that the truth is a hard saying. It'll change the way you think. It will change the way you see things. It will change the way you believe. Because the Bible said you can believe a lie, you can dwell in darkness, you can sit in darkness, but if you have a soul of Jacob, if you have the bloodline of Almighty Yahweh in your veins, not born of the will of man, but born from above. My sheep have eternal life. Their names are on the Lamb's book, not from the time that they are born here, but from the foundation of the world. You see, the blood of God from the very foundation would be the recalled blood that would come back to him, and only his sheep would hear his voice because they have the blood identification genetics to hear the word. Amazing. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, that sure changes the theology of the Christian church. It certainly does. Because they have a way that seems right, and they can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. When they do, they're making twofold more the child of hell than he was to begin with. So therefore, when you hear the truth, walk in and find the deserved rest for that weary soul. You've been searching for the truth. You've been longing for the truth. You've been praying for the truth. You've been asking for the truth. You've been seeking it. And now today, this morning, wherever you may be listening to us around the world on WWCR 15.825 is the mothership, the flagship station that we're broadcasting from. You may hear us at a different time. You need to contact a Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call simply by writing this address, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, let me spell for you correctly. Two words, N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's right here out of the great volunteer state of Tennessee, in the beautiful, majestic, magnificent hills of the Smoky Mountains. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're live on WWCR around the world with the transmitting jewel of the South. None like it. She's in a class by herself of WWCR, First Class Operation. You're welcome to visit the studios in Nashville, Tennessee. They'll give you a grand tour. Wonderful, good Southern hospitality. If you'd like to visit the great station of WWCR, where Pastor Buddy on 5070, that's the flagship station that we do our broadcasting from, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. in the USA Eastern time zone, at 7 Central, 5 in the Western time zone, and 4 in the Central. So we invite you to listen to The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy tomorrow night on 5070. That's WWCR around the world on 5070. We're live every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, that will put you in Spain at 2 a.m. It will put you in Europe in the early wee morning hours. But, nevertheless, today on 15.825, Pastor Buddy's voice is heard in Europe and in Russia and throughout the Baltic states up into the Scandinavian countries in prime time. We're coming in there about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, and I hope and trust that our reception there is well and good. If you could, give us a radio check. If you'd like to call me, that's area code 423-626-2172. And I promise I'll get the international calling code for you and to give you that. So it would be very easy for you just to dial the international calling code if you're calling from overseas. Or if you want to write, Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, you can do so in New Tazewell, Tennessee, with a zip 37824. My telephone number again, area code 423-626-2172. And this message today is brought to you by a love of one precious individual in the great state of Illinois. He sponsors my program. Don't want to be mentioned, but I mentioned him anyway, that if you have a love for the gospel and you like to see Pastor Buddy going around the world more than he does, then we encourage you to write and contact the Shepherd's Call Ministries right here in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Simply address your mail to Pastor Buddy or the Shepherd's Call, either or both, and we'll receive your letter at Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, next Saturday morning, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be with you again live on WWCR on the transmitter station 15.825. That's 15.825. That's 15.825. If you will, tune us in at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. That'll be 9 o'clock Central in the great state of Tennessee out of Nashville, where we broadcast live. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the clock on the wall has caught up with me here at the Shepherd's Call Ministry Studio. And I appreciate you listening in tonight. I hope and trust that if you're one of those eternal beings, I hope to hear from you. If you're one of those that was chosen before the foundation of the world with your name on the Lamb's book, I want to hear from you. If you thought you got born again and saved and joined the church, you just had a religious experience. If there are a dime a dozen, you can get them on every corner, in every different fashion and form, and in every name if you'd like. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want the truth, you've got to be awakened genetically and spiritually inside. A sheep will hear the voice. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart and repent and hear the gospel. The gospel is given for evidence of salvation. You see, salvation came from the far country. It didn't come here upon the earth. It came before you ever came over here. You were born not of the will of a man, but the will of flesh, but the will of Yahweh. Purposed, put in flesh bodies as you returned out of the garden along with the rest of us, and we had to prove ourselves worthy to come back and find the truth. And after you find the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel bound by the dogmas of religions. If you are marred in ignorance and fear and superstition, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing, and Almighty God says, I will receive you. Well, if you are received by the power invested by the Holy Spirit, know this, that being transformed in the newness of your mind, that the things that you once loved, you'll now hate. The things that you once hated, you'll now love. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is forever settled and nothing can be added to it. And certainly, most certainly, nothing can be taken away from it. Do not add to the word and do not take from, but rightly divide. We've rightly divided some scriptures for you here today. And we hope and trust that they have opened the avenue to the key that we've had as the anointed gospel to open the key of your heart. Remember, the Messiah said, behold, I have the keys of hell and death. Now, this key is a key of love. It's a key of desire. I'll see you next Saturday morning on 15.825 WWCR, the Transmitting Jewel of the South. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Until then, may the blessings be from Dixie.
I'm not the one who's going to be 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 the one who